I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello, welcome to our new podcast, The Signal
and the Noise,
that will attempt to give you a peek into the inner workings of Mint's long stories. This is Sunit.
And I am Ajay.
And we are both editors with Mint.
Hello, welcome and thanks for tuning in. Today, Sunit won't be joining us. Instead, my colleague Sayanthan is here with me. He's been trailing India's rural stories for many years now. And right now, rural India is blockading Delhi. As you're listening to this, thousands of farmers have descended upon the national capital from all directions. They brought along beds made of hay, tractor trailers loaded with wheat and rice, and even sound systems. The farmers want the government to repeal a set of laws which were passed by Parliament in September. But how did we get to this point of conflict? What exactly is the issue at the heart of this agitation? That's what I'm going to ask Sayanthan today.
Welcome to the show, Sayanthan. So you recently went to the Singhu border point between Haryana and Delhi, right? What's the mood like and what was your sense of the situation on the ground?
Right now, farmers from Punjab and Haryana have come with their tractor trolleys and a station that not just in Singhu border, they're also stationed at the Tikri border. This is the border between Delhi and Haryana. And on the Singhu side of the border where I went, there's like a long queue of tractors stretching for miles on end. By a very conservative estimate, they'll be over. They have come there ready for a long haul. They want to stay put till their demands are met. It's almost like they have set up their own village on the national highway. And the moment you enter there, they'll make you feel at home with hot cups of tea. They'll pester you to have food with them. And then they'll open their hearts and speak to you. And in between, you see that they're drying their clothes, washing dishes, you know, going about their daily chores. This is very, very different from what we have seen earlier. And it's almost like they're saying, you know, like that we are here and we are in no hurry to go back.
And this has been going on for a while, right? I mean, there was a stopping of trains in Punjab for a while. Could you kind of summarize like the broad point of conflict here for people who have been following this?
Right. So the government actually, right after India announced its lockdown within 1.5 months, in June, the government brought in this ordinances, which are basically emergency provisions under law. Right. And the law is very simple. It says that the main bone of contention is the first law, the APMC Reforms Act. Or which the farm activists are calling as the APMC Bypass Act, which basically says that, any private player, any trader, any corporation, any food company can buy directly from farmers from outside state regulated mandis where you end up paying some taxes and fees. So the law essentially is saying that, you know, the government is saying that we are giving farmers more choices. They can sell inside the mandi, they can sell outside the mandi. But the problem is that they have also created a dual taxation structure. Now, if you see in Punjab, when you buy from mandi grains, including when the Food Corporation of India buys from farmers, they end up paying 7-7.5% taxes, which is quite steep. Now, what happens is that if your purchases from outside mandis are tax-free, that means slowly the mandi system, the farmers are fearing, will collapse, right? It will be difficult for the mandis to compete with them. And in that case, they are fearing that, you know, with this, the government is hoping that, you know, more private parties will, players, big food companies will come in and invest in the infrastructure, in creating, say, wholesale market yards, in investing in food supply, the food value chains. Okay, that is the government's hope. But the farmers are fearing that they will be left to the market forces. You know, the government will slowly withdraw from the assured MSP procurement purchases, assured MSP purchases at a fair support price.
Right. So you get MSP only within an APMC?
No, the government can choose to procure from anywhere, from outside APMCs. But in Punjab, all the procurement, all the purchase, government purchase happens in mandis via Arthiyas. Okay, and it's very fast. If you see during the pandemic, so many things were, they were supplied, right? But our food stocks are booming. It's also booming because there were no hitches in procuring from farmers, because it's a very well-established system. Now, the farmer's fear stems from here. Once the mandi is weakened, once the mandi is gone, okay, once this regulated wholesale markets are gone, they'll be left open to the market. And the government will slowly, you know, stop purchasing from them or reduce the quantity. Now it's open-ended procurement in Punjab and Haryana. You bring whatever rice and wheat you have grown, and we'll purchase it from you at the minimum support price. But their fear is that, you know, slowly they might stop the open-ended system. They might say that they might restrict the quantity as the government has done in other states. So basically, this whole thrust on private markets has unnerved and unsettled farmers. So they have been protesting ever since the law was passed in the parliament in September. For 2 months, there were railway blockades. They were protesting in their villages, on their roads, on the highways. But my sense is that they eventually realized after these 2 months of protest that, you know, like, you literally have to go to Delhi and raise your voice there. I mean, like, if you're at the far end of the country, on one corner of the country, you can sit in your village, your protest, it doesn't help. Okay, that has dawned on them. And that's why we saw that they have come prepared, and they've spent a whole lot of their money from their pockets, you know, like, to come here. One farmer was telling me he came from Tarn Taran to Delhi and to the Delhi borders, and it's about over 400 kilometer journey, and he says that on one way he spent almost rupees 10,000 on diesel. Okay, now they have they have come with grains and come prepared.
So now that the government has kind of initiated talks, I think there were the first round of talks happened yesterday. Do you think there is any scope for a quick resolution here?
Yesterday was the third round of talks. So the government has met the farmer organizations earlier twice, still now, and yesterday was the third round of talks. So, see, the government's point has been to explain the benefits to the farmers. Now, it's a little difficult in the situation that when you brought in these ordinances, and we saw the ruckus that was created in the parliament while the laws were being passed. Okay, so for all these months, you never really went to the farmer to understand their viewpoint, or you didn't take their feedback before framing these laws. Okay, now you have done everything and you're saying that I'm not going to roll it back. Farmers think that, you know, like, they have some leverage because they have blocked the highways to Delhi. And, you know, they didn't want to move to a designated protest ground, which they called is an open jail. You know, so they know this kind of, so they are steady on the ground. So they are saying almost like an act for an act. If I can call it that, which it means that, okay, you have brought in this act. Now you repeal this act and do another act, which legalizes actually this MSP based in the procurement, which makes MSP into a legal entitlement, which is not there. Sure. It's only a promise. It's a policy. Okay. Right. So they want MSP to be a legal entitlement, And so it's almost like they are saying that give us an act for an act. You know, like act ke badle mein act. You know, it's almost like that. Yeah. So I really don't know if there will be a resolution. It can be quick. Okay. So there certainly, if the government with an open heart talks with farmers and assures them that, you know, your MSP based purchases will continue, there is a possibility there could be a thaw in the agitation. And but my sense is that nothing short of a written assurance will help. Okay, because there is a serious trust deficit with the government among the farmers. They are saying the government has promised too many things and delivered too little. So you know, like, we don't trust your word. I think nothing assurance. I think at least, you know, that open-ended MSP procurement will not be heard in states like Punjab and Haryana, and for other states it would be scaled up. Something of that order has given to farmers. A mere verbal assurance doesn't help here.
And about these farmer movements itself, even under this government, NDA government, there have been several of them. There was this long march to Bombay a while ago, and a couple of years ago in 2018. I think you had also gone to cover it for a bit. The Delhi-UP border, there were some clashes. Is there anything different or striking about what's happening right now?
See, it is unlike anything we have seen before, and it has by some means, by some measures, it parallels and even surpasses the last big movement which we saw years ago, led by Mahendra Singh Tikayat, which is the Boat Club rally of 1988. Now, what is strikingly different this time, it's not a day or 2 day affair. Okay, that usually farmers will congregate from all parts of the country, you know, for a day or two, and there will be fiery speeches, there will be songs, there will be music, and then they will go back. You know, they will submit a deputation to the government, submit their memorandum to the government, and they will go back. This is not like that at all. Okay, they are clearly saying that we are here till you roll back this law. Okay, and they have come prepared. I mean, two of your highways leading to Delhi are completely choked. If you go there, they will say that we are ready to stay here for a year. We are in no hurry to go back. So it's like, and in a way, it could have been handled better. But you know, on their way, they have encountered numerous barricades, and even state governments like Haryana had dug up trenches on the national highway. I mean, it's kind of odd for a government to dig trenches on national highway and destroy the property it's spent on. You know,
right.
And the farmers have filled up these trenches with their own hands. You know, they have like battled water cannons, tear gas shells. Two, three farmers, unfortunately, have already died. One due to the cold. Someone was died in the car. You know, charred to death. You know, there have been small accidents. On all these difficulties, you know, all these burials seem to have strengthened their resolve to stay put. And and it's like for the Punjab economy, where agriculture plays such a big role, you know, it's the last straw. The farmers seem to be saying that, you know, you can't bring me to the point of being like that marginal kisan from Bihar and UP and you know, like, and Madhya Pradesh or anywhere else, you know, that poor kisan in tattered clothes. They are not, they say that, you know, I mean, we are not like that, you know, like, we'll wear good clothes, you know, like, we maintain a certain dignity and lifestyle, and if these laws are a threat to that. So we need to, whether we agree or not with that, we need to understand their position, okay, and understand their viewpoint, and the fact that they were never consulted before these laws were brought in.
Okay, well, thanks for joining, Sainthan, and thanks for throwing some light on this.
You have been listening to The Signal in the Noise, with me being the signal, of course. We would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram on @HTSmartcast. Or you can also reach out to us personally
at Sunit Arora
and at AJ Axiom. To listen to more such interesting podcasts, do log on to htsmartcast.com. We'll be back next week with a new story and some awesome banter.
And lots of fun.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.